Parenting. It's one of our most important jobs in life, but we also don't get formal performance reviews like we do in the working world. And sometimes that can leave us guessing. How am I doing? You want to know. And since there isn't a formal review process, we tend to look to the world around us to evaluate how we're doing. We do this in lots of different ways. One common way, whether we decide we're doing a good job or not, is by looking at our kids' happiness. If your kid is happy, you must be doing okay, right? If they're unhappy, we must really be botching things up, right? Or maybe we're looking at the outcomes of our parent-teacher conferences, or our kids' grades, or commentary that we get from the grandparents. Today, we're talking about these different ways that we can silently evaluate ourselves and how often that can lead to self-doubt. Hi, this is Danae. I'm the founder of Simple Families. Simple Families is an online community for parents who are seeking a simpler, more intentional life. In this show, we focus on minimalism with kids, positive parenting, family wellness, and decreasing the mental load. My perspectives are based in my firsthand experience raising kids, but also rooted in my PhD in child development. So you're going to hear conversations that are based in research, but more importantly, real life. Thanks for joining us. Hello, hello. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Excited to be talking a little bit about performance reviews, or should I say lack thereof, that we get in parenting. But first, I want to give you a heads up on my brand new program, Partners in Parenthood. This is the first program that I've ever designed specifically for partners to do together. So often what I see within partnership is that two parents have the same values. They want the same things for their kids. But where they diverge is the beliefs on the path to get there. So in this program, we're creating a unified front, a shared approach to parenthood. It's going to be short, simple, and impactful. You can go to simplefamilies.com/partners. That's how you get on the waitlist. Once you're on the waitlist, you'll get all the information. That's simplefamilies.com/partners. All right, so let's talk about performance reviews. I don't really get performance reviews in my work anymore. Well, I guess you could say podcast reviews are kind of like my performance review, for better or for worse. But my husband does, and every year when he's about to get his annual review, I always feel a little bit nervous for him because when I worked in a more traditional job, I know that I got so nervous for that annual review every year. He is someone that is kind of universally loved. I've never met someone who doesn't like him. And he's smart. He's a hard worker. Needless to say, his performance reviews always go well. The way that they're done in his job is they're on a scale of 1 to 4, and you get 2 numbers on a scale of 1 to 4. He's been told that no one gets a 4-4. It's a virtually impossible. Every year he gets a 3-4 or a 4-3. And I can't help but feel like he is a little bit disappointed by that, even though that's pretty darn good. So I've been thinking about performance reviews and how we evaluate ourselves as parents. And since we don't get those numbers every year, what do we look to? By default, we're always kind of assessing ourselves and sizing ourselves up and comparing ourselves, again, for better or worse. I think above all, one of the ways that we assess our performance as parents is through the happiness of our kids. If your kids are smiling and happy, you must be doing something right. And the flip side, if your kids are sad and crying and angry, you must be doing something wrong. For me, this is a gut reaction. And it's one of the reasons that it's so hard to handle boredom. Because even though I know on an intellectual level that boredom is really good for our kids and it creates opportunities for innovation and creativity, when my kids get bored, they get irritable and they're not happy. And then it sends me into the spiral of self-doubt, thinking, should I be doing more? Am I doing the right thing? How can I make them happy? Maybe I need to go on Amazon and one-click order some new toy or sign them up for a new art class. That would make them happy. So often we equate busyness with happiness with our kids. And I do think that that's one of the reasons that we get in over our heads and we buy too much and we do too much and we schedule too much is because we think that's what makes our kids happy. And when our kids are happy, we feel like we're doing our job. We feel like we're getting that 4-4. We're doing okay. But often we are confusing brief, fleeting, momentary joy with happiness. Because yes, getting your kid a new toy is going to make them joyful and excited, but it's going to be short-lived. Our kids are not always going to be happy, just like we're not always happy. They are going to face feelings of disappointment, of anger, of resentment, of sadness, because they're humans and those are human emotions. So we have to be really careful not to assess our performance based on what we perceive their levels of happiness to be, based on the numbers of smiles and laughs that we get each day. Because at times, seeking all those smiles and laughs constantly can come at a cost, not only a monetary cost, but the cost of exhaustion and irritability, because kids who are overscheduled get overtired, and that quote-unquote happiness tends to slip away and quickly flip-flop into irritability. So something that we need to do for ourselves, for our own well-being, is let go of the responsibility for our kids' happiness. They are their own humans. Our job is to support them and nurture them and love them and feed them and clothe them. But it is not our job to make sure that they're laughing and smiling all the time. In fact, it's really important for our kids to feel all the feelings and know that it's okay to feel all the feelings. If they sense that you're trying to fix any kind of negative mood or sadness or anger that they have, they might get the message that those feelings are not okay. Those feelings are meant to be hidden. I know that I'm certainly not laughing and smiling all day long. Anybody else? And I don't want to expect that my kids should be either. I think that some of this stems from infancy when kids are unable to communicate. You think about in those early months of life, especially when a baby cries, they generally need something. When they're expressing negative emotions, we jump in and try to figure out what to do. We try to figure out how to fix it. A diaper change, food, sleep. But as they get older, we can't be the end-all be-all fixers anymore. Because as they grow, their needs and emotions become so much more complex. And as their support people in life, as parents, it's our job to sit with them while they experience that. Not our job to buy our way out of those sad feelings. So pay attention to this. See if you can catch yourself measuring your performance based on your kids' happiness. I know that I do it. I catch myself doing it all the time. I have to use a lot of self-talk to remind myself that I am not responsible for their happiness. And their negative emotions are not the result of my performance as a parent. Now, I will say, just kind of a sidestep from here, is that sometimes when the parent-child relationship is really strained, we trigger each other. And we can fall into patterns where we do trigger our kids. And our parenting is in fact related to the negative emotions of our kids. And I think we also need to be tuned in for that. If you sense that that is the case for you, I highly recommend bringing in some outside support, the help of a coach or a therapist, to develop more positive ways of interacting with your kids. I feel like that's another podcast episode, right? Triggering our kids and how we do it as parents. Oh, I really did it this week with my son. I was trying to explain to him that when he doesn't eat, he gets really hangry. And we had just read this book about a kid who had an evil twin. So I tried to use this analogy that his evil twin came out when he was hangry. And it really flopped, like really flopped. He was really, really upset with me for calling him evil. I really triggered him. And you know, in retrospect, that probably just wasn't a great thing to say or like a comparison to make that, you know, calling my kid evil. But we all do stuff like that. You know, we say stuff with the best of intentions. You know, we say things without really thinking them through first. Parenting is such an emotional thing that sometimes stuff just comes out that we don't want to come out. Anyway, so yeah, triggering our kids. I think that's another episode. Don't call your kid evil or tell your kid that they have an evil twin, because it probably won't go down too well. Learn from my mistakes. Okay, we're going to take a quick 1 minute word from today's sponsor. And when we come back, I want to talk about a couple other ways that we review our own performance, including parent-teacher conferences, comparisons with other kids, and maybe even commentary from the grandparents. The sponsor for today's episode is Native. I'm so glad to have Native around for a sponsor still, because it continues to be something that I use every single day and probably will forever. Native cares about the products that you put on your body. They're stopping the stink the right way. I'm a huge fan of their aluminum-free deodorant, and they also have a body wash, toothpaste, and sunscreen too. It's unisex. My husband and I have both been using it for years, and we just started giving it to our son too. So it's great even for sensitive skin. So stay fresh, stay clean with Native by going to nativedeo.com/simple. Or use the promo code SIMPLE at checkout and you get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/simple, or use the promo code SIMPLE at checkout and you'll get 20% off your first order. And I've shopped around a lot, and that is definitely the best way to get the best deal. So back to performance reviews. Let's talk about parent-teacher conferences. Last night we were at an orientation for one of my kids' schools, talking to the teachers. And I got to thinking about parent-teacher conferences. And on the way home, I was asking my husband about his experience as a child with parent-teacher conferences. And I'll share mine, which was every time my parents went to a conference, they came back saying, well, we didn't need to go to that. Nothing new, nothing changed. The feedback was always positive. Teachers always said good things. Now, don't mistake that with me being perfect. I was a sneaky internalizer, which means that I just became very skilled at hiding all the imperfect stuff. But when it came to parent-teacher conferences, it felt like that 4-4 review every year. So I asked my husband if that was his experience growing up, and he was like, no, definitely not my experience growing up. He definitely did not get those glowing reviews every year when he was a kid. And that made me feel a little bit better, because I've never had one of those conferences with my own kids. And sometimes I just think, I just want to be able to go into a conference and have one of my kids get that 4-4. Because in many ways, parent-teacher conferences feels like a reflection of what I'm doing at home. And my kid's eval indirectly kind of becomes my own if I'm not careful. I really value the feedback from teachers, but I don't know if you've ever had the feeling as a parent where sometimes you just want it to be easy. I don't want to have to worry about anything. But alas, has never happened for us with either kid. And I think all those 4-4 perfect reviews I got as a kid led me to believe that that's what I would be getting as a parent on behalf of my kids. And that definitely hasn't been the case. It's kind of a slow reckoning. But truth be told, I think there's so much value in that. If I walked away from the parent-teacher conferences with a perfect review of my kids, I wouldn't really know what they're struggling with. And we're all struggling with something, every adult and every child. And having a teacher that's aware of those challenges is a powerful partner to have as a parent. And I'm not raising perfect kids who get perfect reviews. The biggest part of my job is to be a support person. And knowing the challenges and struggles are empowering to me, because they help me know how to do my job, how to support. Intentional parenting really isn't about raising perfect kids. It's about raising kids who feel loved and supported and nurtured and cared about. Because all those things have such a huge impact on their success down the road. But intentional parenting is not about raising perfect kids. I think one thing that has changed since I was a kid and got my glowing 4-4 reviews is that a lot of teachers are more in tune with the whole child. Most of my kids' teachers are looking at their whole development, not just their academics. And as parents, I think we really need to open ourselves up to hearing feedback from teachers, even if it's not necessarily perfect. even if it's not something we wanted to hear, even if it's hard to hear. And it can be scary, I'm sure. I've never been a teacher, but I'm sure it can be really scary to deliver news or feedback to parents that isn't what they want to hear. That maybe catches them off guard. So imagine what it might be like to be in the position of the teacher. So when you show up to your parent-teacher conferences this year, don't expect that 4-4 review. Open yourself up for hearing whatever it is that your teacher has to say. You might even need to lead with, please be honest with me. I really want to hear your thoughts. Inviting them to go a little deeper than the quote-unquote happy talk. Because our kids are growing and they're changing and they're learning. And undoubtedly, along the way, they're going to have strengths and weaknesses. And how can we help support them? And if we don't know the areas that they need support, it's going to be really hard to support them. So just think about that when you're going into your parent-teacher conferences this year, that you really want to open yourself up to hearing whatever it is that the teacher has to say and really create this environment where they feel comfortable to do that, where they don't feel like you're going to jump all over them if they say something you don't want to hear. You might even need to do a little role playing, a little practice before you go in, if it's hard for you to keep your cool in those situations. And maybe bring some tissues, because I know that I, for one, have held back tears in many a parent-teacher conference. In fact, I don't even try to hold them back anymore. So remember, if stuff comes up that you don't want to hear or is hard to hear, it doesn't mean that you're messing up. You're doing the best that you can. Look at this kind of feedback as an invitation for growth. Are there things that you can learn to help support your kids better, to help nurture them better? Are there services that they need? Maybe things that you can't provide. The age-old debate of nature versus nurture. Yes, there is a lot that we can do as a parent, but there's also a lot that's out of our control too. Another way that we evaluate our performance is based on the opinions of grandparents. And I say grandparents because they're usually the ones that are the most open to giving feedback and to having an opinion. And as a parent, you have to decide what you're going to take as advice and what you're going to leave. And you know, I say that all the time on this podcast is, you know, take it or leave it. Some of the things that I say are going to resonate with you and some of them are not. I don't want you to take everything away. I want you to pick and choose what works for you. And I think that we should do the same for the grandparents. There are going to be things that your parents or your in-laws say that are really helpful. And there's also going to be things that they say that are not helpful, things that you need to leave behind. But what I caution you in doing is letting their feedback serve as a performance review for you. Because there's so much more to you and your relationship with your child that they don't see, no matter how close they are to you. Lastly, don't judge your performance as a parent based on what the kids next door are doing or kids on social media are doing. There's more than meets the eye. So the big takeaway here is there really are no performance reviews in parenting. You and your kids are always growing and changing and evolving. So just when you think you get good at it, you get thrown a curveball. That's why we're always just aiming for progress over perfection. Thanks for tuning in and have a good one.